Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're celebrating this week the solemnity of Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. We celebrated on Sunday. We're making our way now into the season of Advent, the beginning of the new church year, and the church year ends with the celebration of the kingship and the majesty, the lordship, absolute victory and power of Jesus and who he is. I think sometimes the idea of Jesus' kingship is a little hard to wrap our minds around or to penetrate very deeply, but I think this is something the Holy Spirit really does want to help us with. Remember, the Catechism reminds us very clearly that the first mission of the Holy Spirit is to reveal, to unveil the majesty and the glory, the character of Jesus Christ and his absolute uniqueness. And the Holy Spirit helps us through faith access a deeper awareness. And so one of the things we can do this week is just ask for the Holy Spirit's help. So I'd like to begin there today. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for sending your Spirit. You are indeed the one who is filled with the Holy Spirit. You're the Messiah, the Anointed One. And you walked on the earth in perfect communion with the Holy Spirit, and you were filled with the Spirit, and you died on the cross, and you made it possible for us in baptism to be cleansed from sin and all separation from you, and you, so that we can receive the same gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, to animate our minds and hearts. And Holy Spirit, we ask for your anointing this week that we could see. We ask you to draw back the veil, anoint our minds, anoint our eyes and our hearts, the eyes of our hearts, as St. Paul prayed, that we can grasp the great hope to which we're called, the glorious inheritance that's ours and the saints, and the immeasurably great power in all of us who believe and are united to the kingship of Jesus. Mother Mary's spouse of the Holy Spirit, Queen of heaven and earth, crowned in glory by your Son, you behold the fullness of his majesty and his kingship. We ask you to pray for us, that we can get a deeper glimpse of it now. We can see its beauty, its power, its life, so that we can live a new way of life and become saints for the praise of his glory. In Jesus' name we pray. There's a variety of passages in the New Testament in particular that are hymns and ways of, you know, declaring the uniqueness of Jesus and his majesty and his glory. Because remember, we talked yesterday, the kingdom of God is not so much a place as it is a person. What we will be united with, and, you know, there will be, you know, a new Jerusalem, there will be a glorious place, and he's gone to prepare a place for us. There's images that are given to us in the New Testament, but the heart of it all is we're going to be united, and we are united already in baptism with the unite with the life of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is the kingdom, and living with him, being united to him, that's really what it's all about. Jesus came, he said, right at the very beginning of his preaching, right, he came, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. He's come to reveal the kingdom. There's a beautiful passage in Colossians chapter 1, the second half of that chapter, which lays out in very beautiful terms the images of the trying to grasp and lay hold of and articulate the absolute uniqueness of Jesus and his glory. So I'm going to read through it first, and then maybe we can kind of take it sentence by sentence and see how far we get. Beginning Colossians 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. It's one of the most beautiful passages in the whole Bible. It goes on here just for a minute. Verse 21, Paul then says, "And you who once were estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he's now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." So Paul's declaring the beauty, majesty, kingship of Jesus. He then immediately follows it and says, "Now remember who you are. You were estranged. You were hostile to this, to the reality of the kingdom. Your senseless minds were darkened. You were trapped in evil deeds. But he came to reconcile you in his body of flesh by his death." We get access to the kingdom, and we see the heart of the kingdom in the life, passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And on that cross, we sort of see like the economy of salvation, you might say, the economy of the kingdom, the way of life of the kingdom. What is the way of life of the kingdom? Absolute love of the Father, absolute love of the Son, love expressed in free, total surrender and obedience to God, to walk in humility, to be full of trust, like trusting God in every way, absolute freedom, unafraid. And so Paul's reminding us who we are and what we've been brought into. Now let's take a look at the images that were given in the passage. Again, Colossians 1, 15 through 20. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is the visible revelation of the invisible God. He's the icon of the Father. He reveals God to us. This is revelation. Christianity is, you know, at its root, it's revelation about God. Fundamentally, there's a little bit of a sidebar here, but Christianity is the religion that begins in the heart of God, the Father, that reveals the Father and makes a way of to bring human beings to the heart of the Father. Other religions are aspects, the church has said, some of the other religions of the world are attempts by human beings to reach to God, to try to understand, following the impulse or the instinct of God, and they get some glimmer of light, but they're not salvific. They can't bring about salvation. They can't bring about the forgiveness of sins because they don't bring the kingdom. That means they don't bring the king, and they don't bring the saving acts of the king and the capacity to be united to Jesus through baptism and through the forgiveness of sins. Other religions don't have that. Only Christianity has that. Judaism doesn't even have that. Jesus is the visible revelation of the invisible God, the icon. He does not merely reflect God's image as a man does, right? We're made in the image and likeness of God, but he is that image by nature. This is what the passage is trying to tell us. He's the firstborn. It signifies primacy. Not that he was created, but this, he's the firstborn. He's the Father's eternal Son. Everything that the Father has, he gives to the Son, to the firstborn. What does that mean? It means that Jesus holds the rights. He's the heir and the sovereignty and all of God's plan and purpose over all creation is given to the Son. And we'll see that as the week goes on. He inherits because he's the firstborn. Catechism, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. In him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. That's from paragraph 241, 253 of the Catechism. And the Son is consubstantial with the Father. We talk about that in the creeds. He's of the same nature as the Father. So the kingship theme, Christ is king because he perfectly manifests divine authority, the royal presence of God himself in human flesh. He's the, I love C.S. Lewis said, called him the young prince of the universe. God, the Father's young prince who's become king. Verse 16, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. All things in heaven and earth. Isn't that amazing? So you see the relationship between the Father and the Son, the plan of the Father, that all things that would he would name, he would call into being, come into being through the Son, his beloved. And all of it is for the Son. It's made for him. This is the kingdom. And this is what Jesus wants to give us. Fallen human beings, image bearers of God, yes, but fallen, not able to access this. Jesus said, look what belongs to me. I want you to share it with me. Christ is the creator and the purpose of all things. In him, he's the source. Through him, he's the agent. That all happens through him, and it's for him. He's the final goal of everything. Even celestial hierarchies like thrones and dominions, they owe their existence and their submission to Jesus. There's no one like him, friends. In him were created all things. He's the center, and he is the head of all creation. Catechism, paragraph 331, and then 291 through 294. There's a lot of great, great sections in the Catechism that are worth praying through and reading. It'll really help. And as you begin to, it'll touch your mind. Ask the Holy Spirit, both these Bible passages, but also the Catechism itself as well. So all creation is his domain. Nothing lies outside of Jesus' authority, material, spiritual, visible, and invisible. Verse 17, he himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Christ is preexistent and sustaining. He not only initiated creation, but he continues to uphold it. By his word of power, he holds it together. Jesus is the one who's holding it all together by his divine governance. Christ maintains the whole cosmic order. The Catechism, the Son of God sustains everything by his word. Paragraph 320, Christ holds the universe in being by his word of power. Catechism 2045, he's the king who keeps his kingdom in being. Verse 18, he's the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he might come to have first place in everything. His kingship extends to the new creation, that is the church. He's the head of this body, the church. He's the firstborn, that is, he rose from the dead, the first one to rise from the dead, and in him begins a new creation. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from the dead. And the church is the kingdom of Christ already present in mystery. It's being revealed in the church, in his people. It's why it's critical for us to know it and live it. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Verse 19, pleroma, fullness, refers to the totality of divine life and grace residing permanently in Christ. The fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Christ. Paragraph 469 of the Catechism. Christ's kingship flows from his divine fullness, God himself reigning in nature. Verse 20, and through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The king's throne is the cross. His dominion is exercised not through conquest, but through self-sacrificial love that restores all things to harmony under God. You know, this is amazing. This is what the saints grasp, and they said, I want to live this way. I want self-sacrificial love to characterize my life. They really were living in the kingdom, and they weren't deceived by the world. The blood of his cross, he reconciled all things in himself through the cross. His reign is redemptive. I mean, there's just so much here, friends. We're just barely touching on it. And the saints talk about, you know, Jesus ruled from the cross. You know, that's his throne. Unlike the kings of this world, it's radical offering of himself in total obedience, walking completely in humility, trusting the Father and loving him to the end. That's who we're called to be. That's the life of the kingdom. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us walk it out. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.